Now we're turning in our Bibles, please, this evening to the Old Testament. We're coming to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 15. 1 Samuel, chapter 15. And we have a lengthy reading again this evening. We want to set the tone or the context of what we're looking at. So we're going to read the first 26 verses of 1 Samuel, chapter 15. But it's good to read the word of the Lord. So let's take the time to read it this evening. 1 Samuel 15 in the verse 1. And the word of God says, Samuel also said unto Saul, The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not. Slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, oxen, sheep, camel and ass. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, Go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. When Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and has gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, Wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, when the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. Amen. We'll finish at verse 26, knowing God will bless the public reading of his word to our hearts. Over these past number of weeks, we've been considering in our gospel meetings different characters from Scripture who have used this little phrase where they have said, I have sinned. And we see Saul use those words in verse 24. It tells us, And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. For I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. So as we have considered some of these different individuals who have used this this statement, we come now to another account. We come to an account of a man who had every opportunity available to him to do what the Lord had commanded him to do. But we see that he failed. We see that he disobeyed the Lord. We see that his condition was miserable as you come to the end of what we've read. We have to note at the start and our introduction that Saul is the king of Israel, but he's the king of Israel, first of all, because of the sin of the people. The people desired to have a king. They wanted someone to rule over them. Remember that prior to Saul, Israel really just was submitted to the Lord, and the Lord had a way of ruling them, and God was essentially in control. But the people rebelled against the Lord, the people rejected the Lord, and they desired a king. And back in 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 5, they came to Samuel, who was the prophet of God, and they said, "Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." They were looking around themselves. They were looking at all of the heathen nations. They were looking even at people perhaps like the Amalekites and the Kenites. And they were saying, they have a king. We want a king. They have this. We want this. Now it wasn't a rejection of Samuel. And indeed God told them that. God said to Samuel that this was a rejection of God. Now it's interesting when you think about how they looked at everybody else and they wanted what everyone else had. What they were looking for was essentially equality. Now of course equality is one of those things that we hear a lot about today. Equality and diversity and all of these things. They wanted equality with sinners. And God granted them what they asked for. He gave them a king. And that king was this man Saul. Saul didn't want to be king. In fact, whenever it came to the point in time where Samuel was going to anoint the king, they couldn't find Saul. He went and he hid himself with the stuff, the Word of God tells us. So he didn't want to be king originally. But he is king. And by the time we come to the passage that we've read tonight, he's now acting like a man filled with pride. He's acting like a man who wants to do his own thing, to go his own way, and to follow after his own desires. Yes, he may have paid some lip service to the command of God, even in what we've read this evening, but ultimately, he's disobedient to the Lord. Now, I want to say at the outset, before we get into where we want to go with this, that there are many people like this today. People who pretend that they're being obedient to the ways of the Lord. But if they get the opportunity to satisfy their own desires, to follow after their own mindset, they will take those opportunities. That's what Saul has done. Saul has been anointed as king. He has the wise counsel of the prophet Samuel to call upon. And yet he's become puffed up with his own pride. He's become full of his own self-importance, and as time has gone by, as Saul has remained in that role as king, we can see that the intent of his heart has come through. His primary interest was himself. One Bible commentator said, "Nearly all those evils in the world which people put down to greed and selfishness are really far more the result of pride." And when we see Saul here this evening, this man who's been given a command, as Samuel has told him, that they're to go and they're to smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not. And yet, as we read the account, we say that he hasn't been entirely faithful. And when Samuel comes, he's insincere. We see an insincere man. We see an insincere confession. There's four things I want us to notice this evening, and I want to go through them quite quickly. I want you to see, first of all, there's a solemn command. Verse 2 and verse 3. And we've read it already. And we can summarize it in what I've already said, that God said, destroy Amalek. All of Amalek. Everything that is connected to Amalek. There's a command of God. It's a direct command. It's a detailed command. And Saul, as the king, has the responsibility to lead the people to be obedient to the command of God. It's a very solemn command, because there's going to be a people who are going to be wiped out. But there is a context to this command. There are two purposes. First of all, it's because of the sin of Amalek. It's because of the fact that Amalek previously had set themselves as the enemies of the people of God. And you read about that back in Exodus chapter 17. Back in Exodus chapter 17, verse 8 through to verse 16, we read how the children of Israel are coming out of Egypt, and they're coming on their journey towards the promised land, and Amalek, as a people, set themselves against the children of Israel and attacked them during their wilderness journey. And at that time, we find that the attack of the Amalekites was an attack upon the Lord. In verse 16 of Exodus chapter 17, it says, "The Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation." So now Saul is there as the king, and there's a great people, and they have the power and they have the capacity to go out and to faithfully obey the Lord. And the Lord has sent this instruction to Saul to wipe out the Amalekites once and for all. But there's also something else here. Because just a couple of chapters previously, in 1 Samuel chapter 13, we read about the fact that Saul had been disobedient to the Lord as well. Saul has disobeyed God. It tells us in 1 Samuel 13 verse 9, Saul said, "Bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings," and he offered the burnt offering. Now that was direct disobedience to the word and the way of God. Only a prophet could offer the offerings. Only a prophet could come and make the sacrifices. Saul was not a prophet. And so therefore we have a situation where God has given a command to Saul to be obedient. Saul's already got this backdrop of showing disobedience. He has an opportunity now to be obedient. It's like another chance, as it were. He's received a command from God. Surely he'll be obedient to the Lord this time. But he's not. And this is the sad part of the story, because Saul was on a downward road. He seems now to have set his heart to be disobedient to God. Now I want to ask a question. I want you to answer it in your own hearts, or when you're sitting in your vehicles, or whether you're sitting at home. Do you know the way of the Lord? What I mean by that is, do you know the way that the Lord would have you to go for salvation? You've heard the gospel message. Perhaps you've been tuned in week after week. Perhaps you've been here in the car park week after week, and you've heard the message of the gospel. You have heard that Christ came to this earth and he went to a cross, and there upon that cross he suffered, he bled, and he died in order to pay for the sins of the world. You have heard that Christ died to save sinners, and that men and women are called to repent. And that means you. You know that you need to get right with God. You've heard the gospel message. You've heard the word of the Lord bidding you to come. Perhaps even the Holy Spirit has been working a work of conviction in your heart, and yet you're rejecting him. You know it's the right thing to do. You know that in order to prepare for eternity, you need to get right with God. You know that Christ died to save you. You've heard it. You know that he's the only way. But you've rejected it. And you're still rejecting it. This is another opportunity for you. Just like Saul was given another opportunity here to be obedient to God, so you have another opportunity to get right with God, to come to Christ. We see the solemn command this evening. I want you to see, secondly, the sinful response. Look with me at verse 9. It says, "Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep and of the oxen, and of the fatlings and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them." So Saul has assembled his forces, and they have attacked the Amalekites. They have routed the Amalekite forces. Saul now is in a position where he can proceed to fulfill the instruction of the Lord to the last letter. But Saul's pride steps in. And Saul's pride feeds his greed, and this downward trend continues. Do you notice the effect that Saul's disobedience is having upon the people? They're complicit in this. In verse 9 it says, Saul and the people spared Agag. So the people are involved in this. But the reality of it is that when you read the text, what we see here is Saul leading the way. Saul and the people. They've taken their lead from the king. I believe Saul hadn't learnt one thing from his previous disobedience. I think Saul here is still trying to skirt around the truth. I believe that he's trying to get away with sin. And the warning has come. And the command has come. Warning. And despite the command, he can't help himself. Saul's response here has a dreadful consequence for him. But you know, it has a far-reaching impact, not just upon Saul, but upon his family. And it also has implications for the people, the children of Israel, in the future. This king that was the king of the Amalekites, this man by the name of Agag, they had been instructed to utterly destroy them. But Saul stopped at this point and he didn't complete the job. Now later on, in 1 Samuel chapter 30, we read that David fought against the Amalekites. Saul fought one battle and he stopped. He didn't complete the task that God had given to him. And even after his insincere confession that we've mentioned in verse 24, he still didn't complete the task. He stopped at this point. He left other Amalekites alive. He left at least one of Agag's children alive as well. Because when you come to the story of Esther, and the story of Esther follows this account by about 500 years, we find that there's a man in that story called Haman. And Haman tried to wipe out the children of Israel. Now, if you were to turn to the book of Esther, you'll find that Haman was an Agagite. He's of the line of Agag. Do you see the effect that disobedience has upon others? That 500 years it was down the line, a descendant of this king, a descendant of the Amalekites, has tried to wipe out the people of God. Maybe this evening, you have been disobedient. Maybe this evening you know you've been disobedient to God for a long time. You have disobeyed His call. You have rejected His offer. You know that your sin is separating you from the Lord. You know that you want your sin. And because you want your sin, you reject God. Because you want the life that you're living, you reject God. You reject His way of salvation. And here's the thing this evening, folks. Maybe you can even see the impact that your disobedience is having upon others. Maybe you are looking and you can look at your family and you can see children and you know that they're headed down a road that you're not comfortable with, but you have rejected God. And as you have done that, you can see family who are following your path and they're rejecting Him too. You know the truth. You know that Christ is the answer. You know that the Lord Jesus Christ has paid the price for your sin, but you want your sin. And your pride won't let you give up your sin. Are you going to let your pride take you all the way to a lost eternity? Do you know it was pride that brought the devil to be cast out of heaven because he wanted to elevate himself to be equal with God? And it's pride that will take you to a lost eternity if you don't come to Christ. There's a solemn command. There's a sinful response. I want you to see there's a serious charge. Verse 19. Samuel's speaking here now. And he's come to speak to Saul. And he said to him that the Lord sent thee on a journey. Verse 18. And what he had to do. But in verse 19 he says, wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? He didn't obey the voice of God. And he sinned in the sight of God. The Lord has immediately spoken to Samuel the prophet and has sent him here to Saul with a message. And Samuel comes and he lays his charge at Saul's feet. He says, you've rejected, you've disobeyed the voice of God, and you've sinned in the sight of God. Saul maybe thought he got away with this. He maybe thought that his actions had escaped the notice of everybody, even God. But he's left with no doubt here. He didn't obey the voice of God, and he sinned in the sight of God. Saul protests. Verse 20, it says, he said unto Samuel, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. Verse 21, he says, it was the people that took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, and the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed. So Saul tries to point the finger at everybody else. Maybe you're here this evening and you can blame others. And you're trying to blame others and you're saying, well, this one did this or that one did that. And if that person there is a Christian, I want nothing to do with it. Sometimes people go down that road. Saul tries to blame everybody else, but he's ultimately accountable for his own actions and for his own sin. And Samuel brings him back here very quickly in verse 22 and verse 23. He says, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. You'll see, Saul has said, well, we kept of the good things. We kept of the best of the sheep and the best of the oxen, but we were doing it to sacrifice them unto the Lord. But that's not what God had said. God had said, destroy them. To obey is better than sacrifice. You see, in truth, while Saul eventually comes out with this statement where he says, I have sinned, it's nothing more than a confession of convenience. Because he's been brought to the place where he can do nothing else. And he still thinks he can get away with this. When you read his confession, if we set aside those first three words and we read the rest of it, he says, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. So what he's actually saying is, you know what? I might be king and I might be the leader of the people, but actually I just did what the people wanted me to do. I followed their lead. He accuses them. The old preacher Charles Spurgeon says that Saul is one of those people who was insincere. Whenever we think of the character of Saul and how he behaved down through the pages of Scripture, you can see that. Remember how he treated David. One day he would say to David, David, I'm not going to harm you. I won't do anything to you. The next day he tried to kill him. The reality is that words were just tools for Saul. They suited the moment. He said what he thought was the right thing to say. One day he sought the prophets. The next day he sought counsel and he sought witchcraft from the witch of Endor. Insincerity was a major characteristic of Saul, and it comes through again. Samuel lays a serious charge against him. And he tries to blame everyone else. But only when his back's against the wall does he try to make a confession. But there's no meaning in his confession. There's no sincerity in his confession. What about you tonight? How many are like this? You know the truth. You keep trying to make excuses. You keep pointing the finger at others while following your own desires. The serious charge that is made here in verse 19 by Samuel to Saul could be laid at your feet tonight. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? Are you paying lip service to the gospel? Are you coming along here to the drive-in because you think, well, it's a good thing to do. It's the right thing to do. It's somewhere to go on a Sunday evening. Are you here to keep other people happy? Are you tuned in at home to keep other people happy? But you have not obeyed God. What I mean by that, not obeyed God, you've rejected His Son. You've rejected God's way of salvation. You've rejected Christ. He sent Christ. And Christ went to the cross of Calvary, and there He suffered and bled and died so you would go free, so that your sin would be dealt with. But you know that. You've heard it before. But you still won't bow the knee. You're like Saul. Because of your pride, because of your sin, why will you not bow the knee? There's a serious charge, a solemn command, sinful response, a serious charge. I want you to see finally, there's a severe consequence. Look at verse 23. Samuel says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, He also hath rejected thee from being king. Saul's pride and rebellion brought him to be rejected by God. He's rejected the Lord. He's rejected the way of the Lord. He's rejected the word of the Lord. And he's now on the cusp of losing his crown to another. The response in verse 24, this insincere confession, only comes because of fear. Because of the fact that he fears that his pride will be damaged. He's gone too far. But now he's stayed away too late. The relationship is damaged beyond repair. But I want to say to you tonight, you're in a gospel meeting. Yes, you're in your car, but you're still in a gospel meeting. And it's another gospel meeting. It's not too late. Once again, you've heard about God's offer of mercy towards sinners through Jesus Christ. Once again, the gospel message is sounded out. Once again, you're made aware of your need. You're made aware of the fact that this is still the day of opportunity. It's still the day of grace. And Christ is still saving sinners. Are you going to come to him? Are you going to put your trust in him, or are you going to let your pride take you too far, just like Saul did? Are you going to wait until it's too late? Are you holding off and holding off and hoping that sometime maybe you'll get right with God? Are you hoping that you'll have that opportunity perhaps of a deathbed conversion? You don't know when death will come. None of us do. You're holding off for something that you don't know when it might be. The Bible tells us, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Do you know, every day we hear about people going out into eternity. Whether we hear about it on the news, the death figures are quoted day by day at the minute with COVID. We hear about people who we know, family members, friends, neighbours, work colleagues, whoever it might be. People going out into eternity. What if it was you? What if it was you tonight? Would you be ready? What's holding you back from coming to Christ? Saul's confession was insincere, but Saul's confession was too late, because judgment had been passed and the kingdom would be taken from him. Friend tonight, don't leave it too late. Don't miss the opportunity. Don't wait. And let it pass by. You know you're a sinner. You know your sin separates you from God. You know that Christ came to this earth and he went to the cross to pay the price for sinners. So you know there's a way of salvation. And it's only through Jesus Christ. He said himself, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So it's not your own efforts. It's not your own works. It's not what you can pay in. It's not the fact that you come to a gospel meeting that will save you. It's the fact that you put your trust in Christ. That's only the only thing that will save you. Nothing else matters. Don't leave it too late tonight. Come to Christ and have your sin to be dealt with once and for all.